You know, we talk a lot about prayer. Of course, this is the week of prayer. It won't just simply be our church, but I know many churches and the Assemblies of God, this is kind of our designated week of prayer. For some, they plan it for a different time. Our focus is awesome, focusing on the nature and names of Christ. And those are on the back of these Bible reading guides. There's some separate sheets here, some things to focus on as kind of a beginning place to pray. You know, one of the things that sometimes, I think sometimes prayer, we struggle with prayer because we often think we're trying to convince God to do things He doesn't want to do. And honestly, I think prayer has a whole lot more, and the reason the Lord wants us to pray is that song we sang this morning, and thank you for, you know, letting the Spirit guide you, because I'm thinking, boy, it's almost like you could preach my sermon from what we sang this morning.
Well, I did end up having a cheat sheet because I
didn't read your sermon. Okay, well, very good. But I think a lot of times prayer is really more about us letting God take our heart and conform it, our minds and transform it, and our wills, and that song, I can't remember exactly how the lyrics go to that. But often I find that as I pray, often I begin my prayer by telling God what I want Him to do, and then the more I pray about something, I start realizing that, okay, you're God. Why am I telling you what to do? God, what do you want to do? And I think many times prayer more transforms us to where now we truly become conformed to what God wants. You know, we start doing in that model prayer Jesus gave us, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the truth is most of us, our first inclination is when we pray is, God, get me out of this. And yet, so often, we grow through the things that God takes us through that we might not want to do. And thank God sometimes. I mean, we've all prayed. We could probably spend the rest of the morning sharing testimonies. I was facing this, and God just took it away. But I think we could also share of, I prayed and asked God to take it away, but God's answer, like it was to Paul, that His grace is sufficient. And God saw us through things, and because we went through those, God helped us grow, or because we were maybe in a situation we didn't want to be in, we were where God needed us to be to minister to someone else. So, like I say, prayer is more than just, we've got to get out of our minds that prayer is like putting a quarter in a heavenly slot, or not slot machine, well, for some people, it's, they probably feel that way, but, you know, vending machine. If I put my spiritual prayer quarter in and pull the slot, then God's going to give me exactly what I wanted. I don't think that's really the focus of prayer. It's conforming our hearts, our minds, our desires to His. So when we talk about prayer, I'm going to quickly cover 5 W's of prayer. The what, the who, the when, the where, and the why. But thought it might be helpful to maybe start with a little video on how not to pray.
We all know how important prayer is, yet there are a lot of people that get nervous about praying in public. And with good reason. You could really make a fool out of yourself. People will laugh at you. But have no fear. We've created a simple resource to help educate you on how not to pray.
Duck. Goose!
Just because the group is in a circle doesn't mean they're playing duck, duck, goose. Be on the lookout for little details that may indicate it's a prayer, such as someone praying. When someone is praying, don't stare off into space. Don't trim your toenails. And don't fire up a chainsaw. These actions are potentially distracting and may give the impression that you aren't giving the prayer your full attention.
I knew that I was eating a steak. It would be my waist.
The celebratory drop to a knee prayer is really only cool after a touchdown. Laying hands on the sick is simply placing your hands on someone while praying for them. Your connected hands.
She has fallen into sin in a big way when she cheated on her boyfriend with that football player. God, and we know that she's been to rehab 3 times.
Saying amen after a bunch of gossip doesn't make it a prayer.
So comfort Larry here with the death of his parents and his dog in a horrific unicycle accident. And for me, Lord, with this new car I'm getting, please give me wisdom in choosing the color.
Try not to follow a major prayer request with something trivial. If your hands are extended towards someone in prayer, try not to pretend that you're shooting electricity at them like the Emperor from Star Wars.
And I'd also like to pray for each of our 27 missionary friends by name.
Your prayer shouldn't turn lunch into dinner. That's a miracle no one wants. If the good Lord wanted us to eat cold food, he wouldn't have blessed us with the oven.
Nathan, will you please lead us in prayer?
And don't pretend to have a heart attack to get out of praying.
Demons out!
Don't go to the exorcism prayer unless you are pretty certain it's necessary. If you make an effort to follow these simple steps, you should notice a difference in your prayer life, or, at the very least, no one will want to punch you in the face when you say amen. I thought we covered this. Laying on of hands means... never mind.
Okay. Well, it's good to be able to laugh at ourselves. But some helpful hints. I think those are all good ideas. To get a good idea of how to pray, how about we turn to what Jesus said? Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. It says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Children understand that, don't they? Shameless, mom. Okay, side note there. That's not in the scriptures, by the way, in case you don't have your Bible open. Verse 9, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened. You fathers, if your child asks for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Some things about prayer here that Jesus taught, and we're going to kind of cover these and look at these through these 5 W's. The first is what? What is prayer? Well, the simplest answer is talking with God. If you were a junior Bible quizzer, I would say right now that's correct for 10 points. Talking with God. Now, we're pretty good about talking with God, but when you talk with someone, there's another component to that. What's that component? Listening, yeah. That's where we tend to struggle, I think, with prayer. So like here, if I'm talking with you, it implies that I both speak, well, in this setting, maybe not listen so much, but normally if we're just having a conversation, I'm going to talk and I'm going to listen. So prayer is, again, more than just bringing God a list of things that you want him to do for you. Because he's more than just that candy machine in the sky. He's our God, and he's real, and we have relationship with him. The beautiful thing about prayer is that God does respond. Sometimes it's in a still, small voice. It may seem more like an impression or a nudge. Sometimes it comes in a sense of peace or comfort or well-being. At times the Spirit might bring a verse of Scripture to our minds that speaks to the things we have been praying about. I often find that is the case, that even when I'm following a Bible reading plan like we're doing this year, so many times the Lord, just what I'm reading about that day in the Scripture in my devotions, and it's like the Holy Spirit just, you know, I've heard often people say that you know, it's like a passage of Scripture just jumped off the page at them. Like, this is God speaking directly to me. Many times that's the way we learn to listen as we pray, is just Holy Spirit guide, Holy Spirit. And, you know, especially for us guys are not the best at taking hints. So we need to train ourselves to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord. And again, sometimes it's not, you know, there are times I think we do hear that audible voice. But most of the time I think God speaks through the Scriptures or the Spirit giving that nudge or that sense of direction, that God speaks to us in that way. Or that peace. I mean, isn't it an amazing thing when you pray about something and you don't necessarily see the answer right then, but that Holy Spirit just brings that sense of peace about something, or that comfort that, God, I know that the problem's still there, but I have that peace in my heart that, God, you're going to work through this. You're going to get me through this. You're going to somehow either change my circumstances or change me to get me by through this situation I have, and that peace we have. Which is why, you know, when Paul would write, this isn't in my notes here, but just thinking, when Paul would later write instruction to believers in Philippi, he says, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the what of prayer, is that God listens and he answers. Now, again, listening often takes patience. Okay, nobody call out any names, but you probably know someone who is terrible about getting back to you. They don't answer their voicemail. You think their email account has been closed due to inactivity. You may get a response in a text, maybe. Right? We all know somebody like that. But God isn't like this person, but he sometimes takes a while to answer, at least from our perspective. His timing is not like our timing. But the beautiful thing is, there's an old song that says he may not come when you call him, but he's always on time. God is always on time. He's never late. We would like him to be early, but usually he's not early either. But he's always right on time. So in our story, Jesus told, or in the passage that we read, Jesus told a story or a parable to teach us to be persistent in our prayers. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because in his perfect timing, God will answer. I know one pastor that somebody asked the question one time, when do you quit praying about something? Well, either when God answers, whether it's yes or no, or wait. But until God gives that answer, and sometimes he does, you know, I've had people who've shared their testimony. I kept praying about this, and they would even say, I was worrying about this, I kept praying about it, until finally I was praying about it, and God just told me, quit praying about that. It's taken care of. He goes, I didn't see it at the time, but later, yeah, God had it taken care of, even though I didn't see it. So we keep doing that. And I love the way the New Living Translation, because of your shameless persistence, keep praying about it until God tells you you can stop praying. Don't give up. What do we pray for? Well, 1 Peter 5:7 says to give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. We can honestly pray to God about anything and everything. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said we could pray for God to supply our material needs. Give us each day the food we need. Give us what we need for our physical material needs today. Our spiritual needs. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others who sin against us. We can pray about relationships, about not leading us into temptation, but delivering us from evil. In Matthew's version of this, right after Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, he said, and if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Our relationship with God is directly related to our relationship with one another. We don't necessarily like that, but sorry, I didn't make that up. That's what Jesus said. Go back, read Matthew 5. If you go to the altar to present your gift to God and you remember somebody, your brother has aught against you, leave your gift at the altar, go make it right with your brother, then come back and offer your gift to God. The Apostle John taught that if we say we love God but hate our brother, we're a liar, for how can we love God whom we've not seen if we don't love our brothers and sisters who we can see? Like it or not, we're in this together. And our relationships with one another directly affects our relationship with God. So what can we pray for? We pray for the material needs, the spiritual needs, the relationship needs, and kingdom needs. May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Matthew's version, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's not that one's right or one's wrong. Jesus probably taught this more than once. This is the record that Luke records. Matthew records a different teaching session from Jesus. They complement each other. They're not contradict one another. That's the word I'm looking for. And may we get better at praying for these things as well. Let me challenge you as you read through the scripture, particularly when we get to the portion in our Bible reading plan where we're reading through the New Testament letters or epistles, to pay attention to the things they prayed for. And may we learn from them. Because so often, and how to say this and not say it in the wrong way or a bad way, so often our prayers are about our temporal needs. God, somebody's sick, heal them. And that's not wrong to pray for that. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. He is our healer. But how often do we pray that, God, may you draw us closer to you. May you open the eyes of our heart that we may see and know and understand the love of Christ, how deep and how wide. And I can't quite remember now, but the end of Ephesians 3. And, you know these prayers, when you find them in the scriptures, that so often we pray like our God is too small. Get a chance, find an old copy of, somebody help me here. Your God is Too Small by, is it Phillips? I think. It's a little short book. It's an amazing thing. But that's what we do, is we pray and ask God to work in our lives in amazing ways. Who? That's the what, the who. We pray to our Heavenly Father. And again, this thing of we're in this together, when Jesus begins his prayer, he says, Our Father who is in heaven. That we are part of his family. We are his children. And we're praying to our Heavenly Father, and he is the best of what it means to be a father. I know we've worked in years past with children that were in the foster system, and for many times, if you would tell them that God is like your father, Well, if God's like my father, I want nothing to do with God, because unfortunately there are too many people who've had a bad experience from their earthly fathers. But in this case, our Heavenly Father is the best of what it means to be a father. That's who He is. That's what He's like. Now, He's not our sugar daddy. Again, He's not there to spoil us, though I think He does and does do that in many ways. But He's loving. He is consistent. He always does what is best for us. What is best for us is what is on His mind. Which is why there are times we go through things rather than Him just removing every tough thing in our life. I mean, on a very earthly level, Jesus compared earthly fathers to our Heavenly Father. As a dad, if I never let my children face any adversity, if everything was always just handed to them, they never had to learn to do anything. Oh, let me do your laundry. Well, Mom's going to do the laundry probably. But you know what I'm saying? If as parents, we did everything for our children, they never had to lift a hand to do anything for themselves, are they ever going to grow up? Are they ever going to learn to be mature, to be responsible? Well, of course not. Well, in the same way, God helps us, but sometimes He helps us by giving us the grace and the strength to grow through things so that we grow by them and we mature by them. We learn that we can trust God and that He does what is best for us, even when we don't always understand it. I mean, sorry, I like Pop-Tarts, but if I ate Pop-Tarts every morning for breakfast, that would not be a good thing. Don't need to start every morning out on a sugar high, right? Amen. Once in a while, that's kind of fun for a treat, but can't do that every day. Why? Well, because it's not good for us, not healthy for us. So as a good parent wouldn't let their kids have Pop-Tarts every morning for breakfast, our Heavenly Father does what's best for us. In James 1, 17 and 18, we read this. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth by giving us His true word, and we, out of all creation, become His prized possession. He's consistent. He doesn't change. He's always there. We can count on Him. With all the craziness that goes on, and we've seen a lot of crazy in the last few years, you know, we keep aiming for this new normal, but right now I don't even know what that is or if we'll ever have a really settle on a new normal. Right now it doesn't feel that way, does it? But thank God, when we come to God, we know what to expect. He's shown us in His Word. He's worked in our hearts. He's changed our lives. And as His children, we are His prized possession. That's who we're praying to. Which, by the way, we kind of take that for granted. But there's a lot of other, you know, and this is why we say Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. He is our Father. And there's so many religions out there that God, for them, God is this unknown thing that maybe has a good day and gives you good things, or if I appease Him, He doesn't do bad things. I'm so glad that we do fear God, but not in the sense of we never know what kind of a mood He's in, or we don't know if we've done just the right things to please Him. We get to know Him and who He is, that He is, you know, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. He truly is the best of everything of what it means to be a father. So we've talked about what, we've talked about who, let's talk about when. When can you pray? You can pray anytime. Matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, never stop praying. You can talk with God anytime. And the nice thing is that God even hears our thoughts. In fact, Scripture says that he knows what's on our minds or what we're going to speak even before we say them. That's why students, kids, you can pray in school. You can pray before that test, but ask God to give you wisdom that you haven't studied for. Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring back to our minds the things that we've heard. So, but the cool thing is we really can pray anytime, anywhere. And he's there. So we never stop praying. Now, on a very practical level, it's good to find a regular time to pray, especially as we pray for others or intercede. There's something about that consistency, that habit that we build into our lives. That's why prayer is considered one of the spiritual disciplines. Those things that we learn to put into practice, and those help us. Because I'll tell you what, if you just think, oh, I'll find some time, how many know that, like so much in life, oh, I'll do this later on, and often the day goes and we haven't done it. So if we can get into a place where we have a regular time to pray, if you haven't watched it, find the copy of the movie War Room. Or if it's been a while, go back and watch it again. It just always challenges me and blesses me. It's a story about a woman who actually took a closet in her house and turned it into her prayer room. Had the sticky notes up there about who she's going to pray for, what she's going to pray about to help her. And that time set aside every day where she'd go in and into that true prayer closet. But find that place where you can get alone with God and seek him. Jesus taught this in Matthew 6. He says, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And it's not so much that we just need to get rid of a lot of those distractions to be able to truly focus ourselves on God. And for what it's worth, you're not going to start out probably unless you've, through the discipline of finding a regular time to prayer. How many of you can testify that, oh, I'm going to do better. I'm going to pray an hour every day. Or I'm going to pray 15 minutes every day. And if you're kind of just starting out, how many of you have found out that you prayed for 5 minutes and you feel like, oh, I've really been praying a long time? And you look at your watch and, you think, oh, I've been praying for at least, you look at your watch and it's like 5 minutes. And it's like, I don't know what else to talk to God about. Don't feel bad. That's not abnormal when we start out. That's why that discipline of, and you'll eventually find that most often you can get rid of the distractions and have a prayer list, have your Bible with you, that you'll find that time goes by really quickly, where before maybe you were struggling to get through those first 5 minutes. one of those fun things, back when we used to have the wooden altars in front of the church, I can remember at times, especially the younger ones, we'd have prayer time after service, and they'd come up, and then, I don't even know why I was watching, but I had my eyes open, but it's like, they're really praying, and then it's kind of that pop-up, and is everybody else, everybody else is still praying, so I got to stay and pray a little longer. And then when somebody else gets up, okay, I can get up now, I'm not the first person to get up. We're kind of silly and funny about that, but it happens, right? It happens. But take that time to pray. Talk to God again. And if you can't, that doesn't mean, I need to go home and pray. But you can pray anytime, anywhere. And God hears you. So we've talked a little bit about this. You can pray anytime, anywhere, about anything. Daniel prayed in a lion's den. Jonah prayed in the belly of a big fish. Stephen prayed while being stoned to death for his faith in Jesus. Paul prayed on a ship being driven by a storm, but the sailors thought they were all going to die because they thought the ship would be lost. We can pray anytime, anywhere. And in Scripture, it's obvious that prayer can happen when people are gathered together. And in private. And praying with others can be very faith-affirming. And, you know, I'm probably a little old-fashioned here, but I do miss the times when we would gather together at the end of a service and just seek the Lord at the altar, whether it was in response to the message, the word that was preached, or just to seek God. And the other thing about praying together, again, He's our Father, but there have been times in my life that I've just felt so beaten down. It's almost like the only thing I know to do is to pray and whisper the name of Jesus, because I feel like I don't know how to pray. But then others gather around, and, you know, the laying on of hands, or people just praying around you, and you hear them praying for you, maybe lay that gentle hand on somebody. And all of a sudden it's like, God, thank you, because I didn't know how to pray anymore. I don't know how to pray for myself at this point. But I understood others were praying for me, that I wasn't going through this battle alone. And over the years, as we prayed for people, seeing people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit as others prayed with them, that was my experience. I've seen fears taken away, people delivered from bondage as we've prayed for one another. It's part of the reason why we say, you know, can you do church online? Well, I would say yes to a degree. But I think that's why God calls us to be the church together, because there are times we need other people to be there for us, and then there are those times we need other people to be there, or we need to be there for other people. Not one of us can do this thing alone. We need one another. You know, I've had times when I sought the Lord while driving in my car. In fact, one of those times is after y'all said, come on up and be our pastor, almost 5 years ago now. But as I was driving up here and just listening to worship music, I don't remember the song now, but I just remember that it's like the presence of God, singing and worshiping the Lord and praying. The presence of God came so strong upon me, I just started sobbing to the place where I had to pull over. I just wept before the Lord. Just me and Jesus and whoever was singing on my phone at that time. I think I was listening to music on my phone. What a sweet presence, and what a wonderful time that is. The psalmist, David, penned a powerful reminder that where can be anywhere, because God is everywhere. In Psalm 139, we read this, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. That used to scare me when I had the guilt of that. It's like, oh, God knows every little bad thing I do. But I realized that's not what the psalmist is talking about here. Whatever situation we're going through, God's there. He's there, and that's a peace. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Hallelujah. The where is anywhere, because God is there. You know, we used to teach a little song in children's church. It goes something like this. Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in Little simple song, but it teaches such a powerful truth. So that's the when. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the why. You know, right now, this thing is stationary. But if we get down and just that consistent prayer, just a spoon, not a lot of force, but we keep praying, we keep seeking, we keep asking God, and things begin to happen. And the more we pray, the more this begins to move, the more we see God move. Not a lot of force. But when we pray, and we consistently pray, God makes things happen. See, our prayers make a difference. And even when we feel like, God, I don't see anything happening, keep praying. You know, in a sense, those little prayers keeps God in that situation. We pray because we know God answers prayer, even in times when it may not be evident. Keep praying till God says no, or that God says yes. Sometimes those are the easiest. It's when God says wait. Especially as we pray for others. So often as we pray for God to work in people's hearts, we want to see that change happen instantly. And thank God, sometimes it does, but I think we all know. Especially as we've maybe prayed for lost loved ones or a lost neighbor, a lost friend. But at times, God is at work even when we don't always see the answer right away. Again, if we shared testimonies this morning, part of my testimony is I guess I didn't know this until later on, but I guess my mom, when I was a baby, took me to church for a few weeks and then quit going. I obviously wasn't old enough to remember that. I went with a neighbor to church and Sunday school for probably about 3 or 4 months during one summer, but decided to quit. You know, I quit going. But I had an aunt that I know loved the Lord. And although she never really said it, I think she was praying for me, and I think there were probably others. But see, people didn't give up on me. And one day in high school, I made a new friend. His name was Jeff. And it turned out Jeff and I had a lot of the same interests. We liked chess, we liked playing basketball, just a lot of tennis, a lot of those things. And turns out, guess what? Jeff was a Christian. Matter of fact, I met Jeff in chess club, I think, when we really got to start knowing each other. And back in the day when churches had bus ministries, how many remember bus ministries? Yes. The church there in Newton had a bus ministry. He happened to be the bus captain for the bus that came to my part of town. And one day after school, Jeff said, I want you to come meet our youth pastor. And so I went down and met Gene. And I walked out of there amazed because when I left, I'm thinking, Gene just treated me like he's known me all my life, like I'm his best friend. And it wasn't a fake sort of thing. You know, you can tell when people do. But it just, there was a genuine interest and a genuine caring and a genuine like. And he said, well, you should come to church. You know, Jeff's bus goes right by your house. You know, you could ride the bus to church. And I said, well, you'd probably need to talk to my folks about that. So Jeff said, well, what's your phone number? Or Gene said, and so he called up and came and visited my parents and said, would it be okay for Back then I was Rick. For Rick to come to ride the bus to church. Well, if that's what he wants to do, he's welcome to do it. It wasn't like just one day I heard about Jesus and instantly gave my life to him. But God brought people into my life who were praying for me and kept, in a sense, investing in my life. And I probably went to church for several months before I really gave my heart to the Lord. But I remember that Sunday night around the altar, left of the pulpit, that was the youth altar. We had three altars there. That was the youth altar. That's where they gathered. And it was the week after camp, and of course most of the kids got to go to camp. I didn't get to go to camp that year. And I'm really dating myself here in the AG world. Our CA president, Christ Ambassador, that was the name of our youth group. Every church had the same name for their youth group. Asked me if I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit or if I'd ever been filled, and I said no. And he goes, do you want to be? And I thought, well, I'm in Bible quiz. We're studying the book of Acts, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, Acts 2:4. And I said, yes. I said, yes, I do. So these kids who just came back from a week at youth camp and other people in church, they're gathered around me, and they start praying for me in the presence of God, just came on my heart. And I realized I had fallen short of the glory of God. I tried to think of every bad thing I'd ever done because God was this holy God and I had failed him miserably. I knew I was a sinner. And I confessed those sins and asked God to forgive me. And they talk about being made, you know, Paul wrote and said that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. That's exactly how I felt at that moment. Like I was a brand new person, that every bad, dirty thing had been washed out of my life. And God blessed me with a special blessing that night. Not only did I give my heart to the Lord, but he filled me with the Holy Spirit that night. Why did that happen? Because people kept praying. Because God answers prayer. Because they didn't give up from some backwards poor kid on the wrong side of the tracks, on the wrong side of town. Nope, we don't want them kind of people in our church. Nope, they didn't say that. They saw me as someone for whom Christ died, that needed the love of Jesus in my heart. And thank God, God brought a lot of people into my life that still, you know, I know there are people literally around the world who are praying for me. Because that's what it takes for us to do this thing that we call living for Jesus. Prayer makes a difference. How many know who Corrie Ten Boom is? The Hiding Place, story of her life during World War II. Her father hid Jewish people from the Nazis, and her family ended up in a prison camp. And if you haven't read The Hiding Place, read the book, watch the movie. The movie does a good job. But God worked through her life, and she, you know, you'd think, why did I don't know. I'm not smart like God is. I don't know the mind of God in this. But God worked through her life and through her family's life, even though she lost her sister, she lost her father. But God ended up being able to use her story to bring a lot of people to Jesus and help people heal a lot of wounds and be able to find forgiveness for their enemies. But she said some of these things about prayer. These are quotes from Corrie Ten Boom. It says, what wings are to a bird and sails to a ship, so is prayer to the soul. They're necessary for us. Prayer is necessary. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. She asked the question, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Think about that one for a moment. Final quote says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. That's what prayer is. God, I may not know what's going to happen, but I trust you because I know you. That's why we pray. Jesus, this morning, help us. Lord, help me. Lord, it's more than just a thing we do before we eat a meal or because we know it's what we're supposed to do when we're in church. But Lord, may you help us to make talking with you just so much of our nature that, Lord, maybe at times we don't even really realize we're praying. We see a situation and immediately our thoughts, our minds, our hearts go towards you. God, will you intervene in this? Will you work in this? God, will you use me to make a difference in this person's life? God, will you do the miraculous? Thank you, God, that you're able to do above all that we can think or imagine according to the power that works in us. God, thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Thank you, God, that even when we don't see, you know the beginning from the end. And we can simply ask you to work in us and through us, that your kingdom may come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that as we cast every care upon you, we know you care for us, that we don't have to be anxious about anything, but as we pray that the peace of God, which passes understanding, should keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I think in particular that for so many of us, there are those that we would say, this person has been on my prayer list for a long time, and they need to come to know you. Lord, let us not give up. Because every prayer makes a difference. Like it did in my life, Lord, and still does. And Lord, may this be a year of harvest for us. May we see many whom this church, this body has invested in. Lord, some of these kids are now teens that come up to the youth center, Lord. May through that ministry, the ministry of God's squad and the ministry of the Sunday school here, so many ways that you've poured into these kids' lives. Lord, may these students, may this be the year that they truly say yes to you. We begin to see their lives change. For others, Lord, it's maybe a neighbor we've been praying for that we still from time to time say, hey, why don't you come? And But Lord, may this be the year where they say yes as you've been working in their lives and their hearts truly are beginning to be hungry for you. Lord, for that family member that maybe we spent some of these last few days with them and we think, okay, we made it through. Because it's hard to be around them because they just don't know you and their lives. Lord, not that we judge them, but we see the fruit and recognize that it's not good. Lord, we've been praying for them. May this next holiday season, 51 weeks from today, Lord, may we hear that this year was the year that, God, you broke through in their hearts and they've said yes to you. Thank you, Lord. Anytime, anywhere, anything we can bring to you. Lord, bless us now as we go our way. For those who are able, meet with us again as we gather this night to seek you, 6 o'clock, Lord. Thank you that we never leave your presence, even as we leave this place. Thank you for all these things, and we give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.